are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, I want to head into our new sermon series about spiritual infusion. And, you know, what is spiritual infusion? What are you talking about, Pastor James? And spiritual infusion is an opportunity, really, for God to come to you through the Spirit of the living God, through a time of worship or a time in the Word or a time when you're seeking and praying or a time where you're just waiting on the Lord. And the infusion is when he comes and he begins to minister his presence. He begins to lift burdens. He begins to fill you up with his Holy Spirit, perhaps something like the joy of the Lord or the love of Christ or peace. He has a chance to really minister to you through the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's really important that we experience a spiritual infusion from God, of the presence of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we all need that. And I want to talk to you from the book of Joshua. And we're going to go to the second chapter. And we're going to look at verses 8 to 21. And we're going to talk about, I've heard about your God, Rahab speaking to the Israelites. I've heard about your God. And I want to start at verse 8, going down to verse 21. Before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab went on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melted in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was a part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The man said to her, this oath you made with us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house, if anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on his own head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made with us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window. Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God who takes this word and opens our hearts to receive it. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless me as I share this word, anoint my heart, mind, and soul, and spirit. And we just pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Amen. So the story of Rahab proves that God can use anyone. That's what I love about this story, is that anybody can be used of God. This woman worked as a prostitute in Jericho. It wasn't like she was a prostitute. It wasn't like she thought she was a prostitute before. She was currently a prostitute at the time that the Israelites were spying the land and coming into Jericho. And although the Hebrew spies needed someone to help them scope out the best approach to conquer the city, there seemed little logical reason why Rahab should have been considered for this role. Why would she? She didn't have a title. She didn't have a position. She was known as the town prostitute. And yet, despite where she was, despite her current situation, despite her sinfulness, God was aware that something greater was happening on the inside that had occurred on the outside. He knew that this woman was a broken woman. He knew that this woman had been rejected. He knew that this woman had gone into such a lifestyle because her need, her void was so great for him that she had not yet known that God could meet that need and could actually love her in such a way that she would not have to treat herself any longer as a prostitute. And yet God sees the beauty of her heart. And God knows that in this time, she is one who has in her heart an ability to have faith in God and have faith that God could use her. And so God chooses her that day. And because Rahab had experienced a spiritual infusion of God's courage, his wisdom, she was the one chosen at this moment. And this spiritual infusion of God transformed her into a woman who is actually inducted into the hall of faith. God's looking at this woman who everybody else would go, two thumbs down. So often we do not move in the things of God because people go, two thumbs down. You were this, you were that, you did this, you did that, you weren't supposed to do this, you should never have been in that place. And God says, I see this woman's heart. And you know what? She just might, yes, I'll make her part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't do that. We would exclude. We would look down on. We would tell everybody, stay away from that woman. God? No. She has a spiritual encounter with God and a spiritual infusion of God's presence and God's wisdom and God's courage and faith. And God says, this woman I'm going to use at this hour. Rahab unapologetically took a bold stance for God. God's looking at us and he's saying, I want you to take a unapologetically strong, bold stance for what I've done for you, what I've done in you, and how I've transformed your life. I want you. Don't apologize for where you've been. It's for who you've become and where you're going. Amen? I love that about God. So this afternoon, I want to share and take a look at how Rahab unapologetically took a bold stance for God. And when we look at verses 8 to 11, we see here, Rahab exhibited courage when she confessed her fear of God. Above the fear of man and above the fear of the king, she courageously looks at the two spies and confesses her fear of God. She declared the wonders and the miracles of God. She's saying to the two spies, wait a second here. We've heard about your God. We've heard what he did at the Red Sea. We heard what he did to the Egyptians. We heard what he did to the two kings to wipe them out. They were dominant forces. And you wiped out the whole country. You wiped out their whole army. And you walk in victory today. We've heard about this God. This is the true God. This is a God I can believe in. This is a God I can put my hope in. This is a God who's a delivering God. This is a God who wants to do something right now. I fear that God, your God. And so she really risks and declares. You have to understand, she's declaring that this almighty God, this all-powerful God, this God of all creation is now the true God, because in her city, in her country, there are many gods that are worshipped. And she's recognizing this is indeed something different than I've ever experienced before. And isn't that just what God is like? We think we have them all figured out. We think we know how he's going to move. We think we can tell God how he should do what he should do every day in our lives. And he's like, no, 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 no. I've got something different that I'm about to do right now. And you didn't expect it. You weren't even ready for it. You weren't prepared for it. And she wasn't either. But this is divine providence. God directed these spies to her house. God knew exactly what she was capable of doing. She admits her people are terrified and they've lost all courage. She says, our hearts are melted at the fear of God. Our hearts are melted because we know we're already defeated. Our hearts are melting because unless your God does something for us, we know we're annihilated. And so she's like, wait a second. I don't want my family to die. I don't want to die. And if I do this for you and I hide you and you scout the land, you got to make a promise to me. She's a woman of courage. She's a woman who fears God. Rahab has this healthy, sober fear of God and is convinced that he's about to destroy Jericho. And she says in verse 11, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. When Hugh Latimer was preaching one day in the presence of King Henry VIII, he reports that he said to himself, Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say. And then he said to himself, Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. And be careful what you do not say. You see, we know God Almighty. We know what he's capable of. We know what he's delivered us from. We know the areas that we've had victory over, that we once struggled with. We know the ways he's healed us. We know what he's actually provided for us. We know the times he's had to come and rescue us from the grip of Satan and bring us into the light. We know those times in our lives where we needed miraculous healing and God came and brought that into our lives. We know those things about God. We shouldn't be so afraid to share them. Sometimes we're so afraid of man that we forget we need to fear God. So many times we're afraid of what other people might say about us because we're bold or we're courageous or we stand up in our faith and we declare that this God that we serve is the living God who endures. This living God will do something on your behalf if you choose to believe in him. We don't speak like that because we think people don't really care. They care and they need him just like Rahab did. And we need to be bold about our testimony of who God is. I like what the Recovery Bible says about courage. It says, it always takes courage to make changes in our life, especially when those changes take us into the unknown. She didn't know what to expect. She didn't know why these two spies had come. She didn't know what was going to happen. She knew that the Lord was going to give Israel victory, but she didn't know that God was about to spare her life. She wanted God to spare her life, but she did not know the outcome of it yet. This was an unknown situation. And we face those unknown situations. But that's when we need courage to stand up and testify in the fear of God who our God is. Do you notice the spies didn't tell her who their God was? She's the one telling them who their God is. That's amazing to me. Rahab unapologetically took a bold stance for God, and he wants us to be courageous and take a bold stance for him. Now, in this week, as we're fasting and praying, and he's ministering to your heart, either through the word or through a time of prayer or through a time of worship, maybe as you're actually fasting something like food, something like electronically. Oh, wouldn't that do us harm? Something like maybe fasting caffeine, maybe a little bit of television, fasting various things, and giving that time up to the unknown. And letting him take that time and begin to speak into us the things that he's longing for us in this coming year. The things he longs to do for us. Things he wants to minister to us in a personal way. When we courageously confess our fear in God, it infuses our convictions and allows us to take a bold stance in God. Don't be afraid to share what your convictions are. Don't be afraid, and don't take a step back when you share your convictions about God and other people don't agree. Take a stand and boldly and courageously declare who your God is. That's exactly what Rahab did. I look at verses 12 to 14, and it says this in 12 to 14. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And then they say, our lives for your lives, the man assured her. And if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So they're confessing that the land will be theirs. They're confessing God's going to give them victory. They're confessing total destruction of Jericho. But they're also confessing she is going to be what? Preserved with her family. And we see here that Rahab was inspired to exercise her faith in God. That's important to understand. Not only did she exhibit courage when she really declared her fear of God, but she also is inspired to exercise her faith in God. She understands that God was not limited to her strength alone, but God used her faith, her genuine faith, to envision a great deliverance for her and her family. You have to understand that here is Jericho. They're depending on this wall to stand. It's two walls, and the two walls are 15 feet apart. Her house is actually built on that wall. It's braced on that wall. And there's quite a difference, a distance between the two walls. So they're thinking that because there's two walls, that those two walls aren't coming down. Well, they did come down. They fell down, and they went in, and they burned the city. They tumbled to the ground. And Rahab engaged the spies to take her under their protection. She exercised genuine faith, and we witness this sincerity of her faith. And she joins herself to God and his people. And she's saying to them, first of all, I'm asking you to do something here in faith. First of all, here's what I want, but I'm asking you what? To swear by your God. This God that I've talked to you about, who I know is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, he's capable of destroying this whole city. I'm asking you right now to swear to him that he would protect my family. Would you do that? I'm protecting you out of faith, and now out of faith, I'm asking you to protect me. And they say, our lives for your life. Wow. That's incredible. She exercised faith as she requests them to do this. And they respond. They respond back to her in faith. And the spies, they test her faith. The spies were cautious in settling this promise, not to bind themselves to something they couldn't fulfill. Now, you have to realize this is an important. She says here in one of the verses, I think it's verse 12, she says, now then. Those are important words because you have to understand what happened 40 years before this is 12 spies were sent into the land. They came back with a bad report. That bad report robbed them of their faith and didn't allow them to go into Canaan. Here they are again, and now, she's saying, now then, and they're listening because they can't go back to Joshua with a bad report. And she actually gives them the specifics of, we are terrified, we are intimidated, our hearts are melting, we are actually surrendered and submitted to you, is what she's saying. And so here she is, and she's actually building their faith, but she's stepping out in faith. And she's saying, now this is going to be a different story. You're going to go back to him and be able to tell him, because I'm going to give you an action plan to get there safely. And so she acts in faith, and she does that. You know, genuine faith honors God, and God honors genuine faith. And there's this story from the life of these missionaries, Robert and Mary Moffat, and it illustrates this truth. For 10 years, this couple labored faithfully in Botswana, Africa, without one ray of encouragement to brighten their way. And they could not report a single convert, not one person accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So finally, the directors of their mission board began to question whether it was wise for them to stay and continue the work. And the thought of leaving their posts brought great grief to this devoted couple. And so they felt sure that God was going to honor their labors and that they would see people come to know the Lord in season. So they stayed. And they stayed for another year or so, and actually darkness reigned. Their situation got worse. And then one day, this friend of theirs from England wrote them a letter and asked them if they had anything of need that would help their mission. And this woman of faith said, yes. She said, I would love you to send me a set of communion cups, because when we hold our first service of converts, we're going to serve communion. Well, what do you know? Six people got saved in that town. After years and years of ministry. And so this person who wrote said, they sent the communion cups. Well, the communion cups were supposed to come quickly because they were going to have this communion service. And that week they hadn't come. And then finally, somebody had brought them these communion cups. And the first day the church opened with these six new converts, they had communion together as a family for the first time. And it's that type of tenacious faith that Rahab had. She had faith like these missionaries. She knew she had to exercise this faith and not allow doubt or unbelief rob her of what God had promised her. There's so many times in our lives that doubt and unbelief rob us of what God has already spoken to us, what God has already promised to us, what God is capable of accomplishing in our lives. And so here she is, unapologetically taking a stance for God and standing in faith. Powerful. Rahab also, she executed a gutsy plan that marked the favor, that was marked by the favor of God. We see that in verses 15 to 21. Rahab executed a gutsy plan, and it was marked by the favor of God. It wasn't because she came up with the plan. It wasn't because she was this certain type of woman. We already know what type of woman she was. And she was learning to lean in God, exercise her faith in God, and walk in the fear of God. And now God was giving her the plan of action, and it was gutsy. She hid them on the roof, and the king's men came, and she redirected them and sent them on a wild goose chase for 3 days. And then she sends them out and ties a scarlet rope down the window, and they tell her, you leave that there so that when we come back to the city and we destroy the city, we will not destroy this house. And then they tell her that if you stay in this house, all the people who are in this house, they're safe. If anybody leaves the house and they leave it during the raid and during the destruction, they're dead, and let their blood be upon their own head. But here's the plan of action. And she's gutsy, and she's like, okay, I'm going to do this, but you swear by God, and I will not tell the king that you came this way. But when you guys come to destroy us, here's the scarlet rope. Now that scarlet rope reminds me of the blood of Jesus. And that blood of Jesus covers all situations. Amen? Every situation in our life. And this week, when you're praying and you're fasting and you're asking the Lord, what are you expecting of me? What do you have for me? What do you want to speak to my heart? Where and what do you want me to do? Do I need more courage and boldness? Do I need the fear of the Lord? Do I need to actually exercise a plan of action for somebody else? Do you have me to do something for somebody else that's going to serve them and bless them and encourage? What is it this week that you're going to speak to my heart? I would highly encourage you, don't go into your prayer time without a journal. Don't do that. Go into your prayer time with your Bible and your journal, some good music, and spend some time with God and listen. And when he speaks, open that journal and write some things that he's speaking to your heart. It will be a current word, and it will be a current plan of action. It will lead you into the next step of growing your faith in God. How many of you want to grow your faith in God? I do. I'm not settled yet. Are you settled? No. I remember the night in which I got saved. Now, some of you are like, you always talk about when you got saved. How long have you been saved? Can't you get on with your story? The reason I talk about when I got saved and how I got saved is because the Holy Spirit met me in such a powerful way. And it was from that moment that I was saved, and the Holy Spirit started to infuse this hardened heart, change and transform this rebellious mind, and began to change this heart that was rebellious and arrogant and stubborn and defiant, resistant to the things of God. And he began to change that night I got saved. And I remember when I went up to the altar to get saved, and there was somebody who prayed for me, and he prayed, I'm like, that guy doesn't even know what he's doing. Now, how would I have known that? So I stood at the altar, and I waited for the guest speaker to come down, because I really liked what the guest speaker had to say, and what he said actually led me to the Lord. So I waited, and he came to me, and he said, what is it that you need? And I said, well, you see that guy down there praying? He doesn't even know what he's praying. And he just laughed. And he just said, well, what do you want? I said, well, I want what you just were talking about. I just received God. But if I'm going to be saved, I need to be saved. I need everything that I need to be saved, or I won't make it. So whatever it takes, I'm going to need. And so he laid hands on me, and I was touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit. I was slain out on the ground in the Holy Spirit. And God began to operate on my heart, heal the brokenness of my heart, began to change the way I thought. And that's what an spiritual infusion will do. And that's why we have our prayer and fast week, because we want a spiritual infusion just like Rahab experienced. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we want to respond like Rahab responded. She was unapologetically making her stance for the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will use anyone who makes himself available. And we thank you, Lord, that she has taught us how to exhibit courage as we confess our fear of God to others. We thank you, Lord God, that she inspires us to exercise our faith in you. And Lord, we thank you that she learned to execute this gutsy plan that brought a great deliverance to her and her family. Lord, we pray for a great spiritual infusion this week as we set this time aside, our time of prayer, our time of fasting, this time, Lord God, that we're setting apart so that you can move on our lives, move within our hearts, and challenging us to new steps of faith and growth. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.